You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come feel what you need when what you really want inside can Are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but of course, if it was not, and it had to get done, it must get done. It will get done, because you'll get it done. Right on. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, well, just go to the archives. Go to timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on podcast programs. In the drop down, you'll see the first one you'll see is African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for Awakening. Once again, this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Thursdays, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday, at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Yeah, I'm not going to do announcements today. I'll do them Wednesday. Once again, I'm going to do announcements just once a week and give time to other presenters or information and so forth and so on. So that's what I'm going to be doing periodically, you know. But right now, because this is on my mind, on my heart, I got a phone call just moments ago before coming on air that a good brother, Brother Van Johnson, I remember when I first met him, he was running the Riverside Theater and had a number of acts come through Riverside Theater. And yeah, and then I was, man, this is tough. Because this is a good brother. And I know that this is very, very big for me because I became president of the African World Festival, our festival in Milwaukee. And through a moment, a situation where the sister who was supposed to do it, she resigned. And it shouldn't have been for her to do it anyway because I guess that's what happens sometimes. And then I was thrust into the position. And the festival's coming up on us.
and we didn't have very much money. We didn't have a lot of things. And I contacted Van, and Van Johnson worked a miracle for us. We had a festival, and we had good entertainment. You know, yeah, okay. We had some of the old folks there. I can't remember all of them that we had. I remember some of them. You know, Bobby Blue Bland, Tyrone Davis, yeah. Dramatics, which of course is big for me. I'm a Dramatics fan. Shy Lights. So he brought some entertainment at the time that we said, well, how can we put this together at such a short time? And we did. And it was successful. The following year, we had Frankie Beverly. Remember, I mentioned that before. We had him at our festival. And it was Van Johnson. Me and Van went to Cincinnati Jazz Festival a couple of times on the bus. We were captains on the bus. Yeah, it was cool, you know. Bus ride to Cincinnati and then, you know, tickets to the Jazz Festival. So that worked out well. That was cool. We did that a couple of times together. And Van Johnson, yeah, his wife called me and told me he had passed. Man. Well, I thank you so much, Van Johnson, and long live your memory, especially for me. I often still think about you, dear brother. Man. Okay, Van Johnson. Let me, I'm going to talk today about the Birmingham 16th Street bombing, which is yesterday was the anniversary. And so we're going to talk about that. Yeah. Yeah. September 15th, 1963. And also talk about Bantu Stephen Biko, whose birthday was on the 12th, so we'll still give a lot of good portion of the program to Brother Stephen Biko, because, you know, I've always in the program with the quote, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And, of course, my program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. So we're going to talk about Stephen Biko and whatever else that you may want to talk about, you know, because that's the kind of program we got, you know, what you want to talk about. I know I see Mama Nabantu. I know she want to talk about the Collard Green Festival. I definitely want to hear about it, you know. The Collard Green Festival is coming up, so we'll talk to Mama Nabantu about that. Many already in the queue, my brother Irv, I see him, so we'll talk to Brother Irv. But first, of course, we're going to read the Enya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. September 15th. Understand something, too, brothers, when I read these and stuff that I read sometimes, I feel if it's necessary, I'll say black. But of course, as you know, I say African. I say African. Black is a color. It's a color. But African and Africa is who we are. You know. And I use the word culture. In other words, I feel that I'm important to substitute, or to really say those are the words that we should use, you know. Maybe I've done a program on words. Maybe I'll do it again. So, September 15th. We are not caretakers of nature. We are nature. We are not lords over the earth. We are the earth. Yaya Akalantunde. Europeans loudly speak about the myriad of ecological travesties that set in motion and systematically benefit from as something that humanity did. Something that humanity, yeah, y'all. As with all the negativity they bring, they refuse to accept blame and instead project their misdeeds on any people subject to their lies. They refuse to acknowledge what they forced other people into doing as a result of losing their plentiful resource base and being absorbed into Western society's modes of production and consumption. If they do accept any responsibility, it is because image matters in imperialistic deceptions, not because of any real sense of guilt. Having studied but misread the unqualified appreciation, adoration, reverence for nature in the traditions of others, Europeans see their conquest and rape of it as evidence of their superiority over these backward groups. As God veers, they are compelled to twist, I say, Yah, into her most unnatural state. In their tradition of rhetorical ethic, their efforts to save the planet are no more than cruel jokes designed to fool others into believing that they are altruistic and not politically motivated acts. The heavy politicizing of these efforts indicates a conscious intent to make those lies everyone's truth. In addition, reservation initiatives, usually detrimental to the basic humanity and survival of indigenous people, are meant only to save a captive nature as a laboratory and a museum for the viewing pleasure of their progeny. Affirm, I am nature, I am the earth. Affirm, I am nature, I am the earth. You know, and we, let me comment on this. You know, we talk about this a lot, about how Europeans formed, you know. And I say it this way, we come out of Africa, humanity comes out of Africa and migrates. And they adapt to whatever environments they find themselves in, if they have to be in that environment for any length of time. That's what human beings do. Either you adapt or you die. So Europeans cut off by that ice age, and they transformed, they had to adapt. Body became short and stocky as opposed to tall and slender. Hair over their body to help insulate them from the cold climate. Nose became thin to warm the cold air before it got into their lungs. Lips became thin. Thin lips like a monkey. You know, it's calling us a monkey. I tell you, sometimes you just get sick of them. But anyway, you know, hair, stringy hair, particularly down their back, covering their neck. Because the blood coming out of their heart has to pump and get to their brain. You need blood in the brain for you to function, for you to do things, for you to think, for you to make movement, for you to use extremities. You need blood to go to the brain. But of course, it is exposed by the neck going to your brain, your spinal cord. So they have long, stringy hair all over their body. Yeah. And yet they call us monkeys. They look more like a damn monkey. You know, because if you cut all that hair, in fact, if you cut all the hair of a monkey, their skin is white. Yeah. You know, and September 16th. Instead of using race, I use culture. Race, there's no such thing as race. Europeans, and you can chart that. Europeans came up with the idea of race. Carolinaeus, and Johann Blumenbach. He stratified it, Caucasoid, Negroid, Mongoloid, you know, with themselves, Caucasians with themselves at the top position, with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position on the human chart, the human scale or whatever. Race. No, there's cultures. And our culture is African. That our culture has not effectively moved toward proactive national vision and direction reflects more the formidable grip that menticide has on the psyche of Africans, sustaining the captive. I don't use slave. Slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. I repeat, a slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We always resisted. We fought. A slave to fashion. A slave to money. A slave to sex. A slave to violence. A slave to drugs. You have submitted your will to that entity. We are not slaves. We were captives. What do captives want to do? Get free. And we struggled to free ourselves from the moment these folks tried to take us on those ships in this hemisphere, in Central, South America, North America, trying to get free. That our culture has not effectively moved toward proactive national vision and direction reflects more than a formidable grip that menticide has on the psyche of Africans, sustaining the captive mentality than the inability to formulate the vision. Ola Minji. Too many of us assume that the politics of those claiming to have sat at the feet or have been chosen student of a master teacher are similar to those of the master. Too many of us assume that once the master has transitioned, they speak as the master, with the mind of the master, interpreting things in the same way that the master would have. And in some way, that some will argue that only those who were born and raised on the continent can objectively explain our untainted traditions. Too many of these claiming to have experience being personally taught by a master teacher exploited as an automatic, irrefutable evidence that they have a greater knowledge and credibility than those who have also studied their master teacher, but who have only been able to do so from afar. Such individuals consciously and arrogantly feel entitled to make this claim, as shown by their repeated statements about being taught by this or that master, even while they pursue and promote political agendas which are diametrically opposed to those stated by the master. I say, affirm, I'm working towards the permanent de-menticidation of myself and my people. Menticidation. It's a tough one, Baba Barudi. I'm working towards the permanent de-menticidation of myself and my people. Menticide is a mother, I tell you. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah. Yeah. So, I'll talk about Humasekela after the break. Not Humasekela, but Stephen Biko. I'm going to play some Humasekela, who is from South Africa. But we're going to talk about the Birmingham. And there's a poem that, let me try to find that. That's a, that would be a good thing, won't it? Yeah. Let me think about it. Okay. So I don't see it here. No, did I just do something stupid? I think I did. I think I just did something stupid. And, okay. Okay.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Okay, I kind of did do something stupid, but I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay, family. Yeah, that's still going, that's still going. Brother Irv, are you there? Brother Irv. Okay. I think I believe I'm okay. Bubba Butch, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Am I sounding okay?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm washing dishes, and I can hear you over the dishes.
Then I'm okay, dude. Thanks for being there, brother, as always. I appreciate you, man.
Not a problem.
All right, Bubba. Peace. Okay. I'm still here. Man, Jesus. Okay. Yesterday was the 15th, and on the 15th of September, 1963, the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing happened, where four little girls, and what I was trying to find, family, is the poem that my dear friend sent me, Sister Henri of New Orleans sent me, and in fact I read a couple of her poems before. They're just outstanding, and so I'm going to try to have to find that poem again. Yeah. Oh, I got it. I got it. Sometimes, family, you know, you okay, let me get my glasses. Leslie Henri. Leslie Henri. On this Sunday, we remember. I brushed Scarlett's hair one morning, trying to be gentle, braiding bits of my heart into pigtails. Thank you, sweetheart. Smoothing the fuzzies, laying baby hairs, trying ribbons to match her dress, knowing that we only have a few more years of bows and barrettes. 9 will be 14 soon. I kiss her forehead and I think she will go into school feeling loved, looking loved, being loved. And at 3:45, she'll hop into our car, chatter about her day, ignore her siblings, and I will take her home. My mind traveled, being the vagabond that it is, south to Birmingham, 61 years ago, to a memory that is not of my life, but in my soul. To Sunday morning, like this morning before church, when four mothers braided bits of their hearts, twirled curls around fingers, tied ribbons, smooth skirts, kissed foreheads with the same swelling of pride as I had this morning. Sent their four girls, bouncing and skipping, to worship, pray, to hope, to love. Sending them to know God without knowing that evil was going to send them to see God. Sending them to know God without knowing that that evil was going to send them to see God. I'm sure they greased scalps, popped a fidget head or two with the back of a comb or a brush. I'm sure there were whispers of, don't get dirty, sit like a lady, mind your manners, tell so-and-so mama I said hello. I'm sure those four girls sat between their mother's knees, just as Scarlett sat between mine, and complained that a barrette was not her favorite, or that a ponytail was too tight. I don't know if they had hands as they walked to the church. I don't know if they held hands or skipped in front of their mothers, but I know they were unknowingly sent to their deaths, feeling loved, looking loved, and being loved. I know their mothers kiss their cheeks, kiss their foreheads, kiss, we see you later. But it was goodbye. Today, when homework is done, bellies are full, bodies are bathed, and as I tie silk scarves around my daughter's hair, we will say their names. We will send them our love. We will pray. We won't forget. They were loved. Let us be loved. Cynthia Wesley. Carol Robertson. Addie Mae Collins. Denise McNair. Never forget, family. Never forget, 61 years ago, yesterday, the 16 Baptist Church bombing, the Birmingham bombing, a poem by Leslie Unruh. Man. Yeah, they call Birmingham Bombingham, because that wasn't the only bomb that went off in Birmingham. There were many others. Birmingham was very problematic. But the whole state of Alabama, the whole South, and all of this country. Sometimes we like to compartmentalize and just say, well, it was there, it was that, it was only this, it was only that. No. In Urugu's world, it's everywhere. It's all of it. It's all of it. Their evil is everywhere. From Europe, from which they sprang, their evil is everywhere. From the war creatures they were at the beginning of Greece, of Rome, in their conquest and then thievery. To the reemergence of Caucasian, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. I need to break that down to you so you clearly understand why I don't use white supremacy. Because they're not white and they sure the hell ain't supreme. They're Caucasians, they're Europeans, and they are very extreme in terms of what they have done, what they are doing and continue to do to other people, to other lands, and so forth. Racism, because they created the idea of race and they maintain it. Racism. And because we don't understand it, many of us say, we're racist. If I say something, oh, you're being racist. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. In order for you to be racist, you have to have a position of power. You have to have a position that you can determine where someone's going to live, where they're going to go to school, the jobs they will have, if they'll get promoted, and so forth. That's racism. We can be mean. We can be bigoted. We can be prejudiced. We cannot be racist. Racism. And because of it, and because of their evil, and what we continue to do, damn it. Let me say it. I'm very angry at this because what we continue to do is beg these son of a bitches. Please treat me with respect. Please hire me. Please promote me. Please let me live in neighborhoods like yours or with you. Please let me go to the same schools that you go to. Please. Nothing comes to a beggar but crumbs. That's what we constantly get because we continue to think that we're going to break these folks down and there'll be more. Brother Irv, are you there?
Yes, sir. Baba Oshie.
Hey, my brother. Good morning to you. I thought I did something. I thought, at least I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I guess my mind is all over the place. I just got the call before I was coming on the air that a good friend of mine had passed, and he was very instrumental in helping our festival, and just is a good brother. I've known him many years, and he passed.
Yeah. Baba Oshie, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, Baba Oshie, but it's very interesting how when something affects you, the way God has made us so, God is so magnificent.
Ashe.
He made us so.
Ashe.
That we can't even hide it. I can hear in your voice that this brother was very important to you. That was yes. That this brother was someone who you respected.
Yes.
And someone, and apparently from what you're saying, he was a mover and a shaker.
Yeah.
He was a type of cat that could get people to do things for him because of him. In other words, you've ever met somebody, and you have that quality too, Baba Oshie. I've seen you when you were president of IBPFF. People would just do things just because Baba Oshie asked them. But why are you doing that? Well, Baba Oshie asked me to do it. Oh, well, who the hell is he? But it's the life you live.
Yeah.
Baba Oshie, I got some news a few minutes ago.
Okay.
And, you know, death's coming three, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I usually don't even do this, but... Yeah. I just heard word, I got to confirm it, that Tito Jackson died.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yeah, died of a heart attack. He died of a heart attack.
Danger. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
70 years old.
70 years old, yeah.
Tito, James Earl Jones, Frankie Beverly.
Yeah, comes in threes.
Yeah,
comes in threes.
Lou Gossip, Carl Weathers. We can keep going.
Yeah. This year, many, many giants. You know.
We're at that. That's interesting, brother. Yeah, that's very interesting. I didn't want to veer from the subjects, the brother Stephen Binko, one of the books, and I've stole a lot of books. I'm a thief, man. I go in the library and steal a book in a minute. Back in the day, I stole a book called Binko, written by a white man, and I have it in my store. It's called Binko, and it had pictures, and that's what drew me to it. And Stephen Binko was such a freedom fighter.
Yes.
And they killed him.
Yes.
In the tradition of Arugu, nasty and mm-hmm. vicious.
Yeah.
And torturous.
Yes.
Because, you know, Arugu believes that if I kill this one this way, then that one will see it and he will conform and do as I say. That's
yes.
why they put
right.
heads on sticks. And
yeah.
all this type of food. I mean, I also saw something. I'm not even going to have that conversation this morning. I don't want that in my spirit about how vicious these Caucasians were to black people. And it's recorded what they did.
Yes.
That's sad, brother.
Yeah.
The two big things you were talking about. You were and the four. There were 20 people in the church at the time. These four young children were bombed. And Arugu is so vicious and nasty and soulless to me. So when you kill children to make a point, you're making a point. If you are upset with adults, deal with the adult. But you killed four children who appeared to even have a chance. But they, as we keep speaking of their, say their names and speak about them, they will never die. But those children didn't know anything about this foolishness. Racism and discrimination, and they were trying to grow up and live and be productive as their sisters and brothers were. But Arugu thought it was fit to kill them, like the punk ass that Arugu is.
Yes.
With a bomb.
Yes.
And this is the Ku Klux Klan, the biggest terrorist organization in the country. Trump said he got rid of ISIS. Well, why can't the United States get rid of this terrorist organization? They're still around.
Yeah.
Why can't they get rid of it?
Because they don't want it. It is them. They don't want to.
It is them.
It's them.
It is them. A brother said on the internet, he said the democracy is eroding. I said Iraq, democracy has been gone for a very long time. This is not democracy. I see when you bring a country, when the United States goes into Africa and colonizes these people through corporations like Shell, and those companies that killed Patrice Lumumba, but these were corporations. And they call it democracy. That's not democracy. This is nothing. It's so. And they said if we don't go with this, Arugu is going to have political violence. What does that mean? And what does it mean when they say they're going to have a civil war? Baba Oshu, who are they going to fight? Is they going to fight American Africans? Are they going to fight the white people? Who are you going? Are you going to the Capitol and just bust windows in a White House, which I think is wrong to be called a White House? I don't think it should be called that. Even that in itself is subliminal to tell you that white people and white Jesus and white everything and white and pure as the driven snow. You know how that goes, Baba Oshi.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, who are these people going to physically fight? To shoot mm-hmm. Donald Trump, do you think if Donald Trump got killed the other day, do you think the whole world would have went crazy? I don't. I think they'd have,
no,
I don't.
No.
moved on to the next race.
Right.
Because there's a whole bunch of them. He has a gang. He has a gang of racists.
Mm-hmm.
He would have moved on to the next one. Because while you're sitting here talking foolishness about people eating dogs,
mm-hmm.
you know, you never said the Mexicans eat dogs. You didn't say the Jews eat dogs, but you're going to say the Haitians eat dogs. And if they did eat dogs, Baba Oshi,
mm-hmm.
if they did eat dogs, why are you in their culture? Why does white people think that if you're not a Christian, you're going to hell? If you're not Islam, you're going to hell. Why is it that your culture has to be it? You're the
right.
man. You're the
well,
whatever
yeah.
we say is.
Right.
Come on, Matthew. I don't get that part, Baba Oshi.
Well,
they're not living.
They're the top of humanity. They are the epitome of what it means to be human. Everybody else is a little lower. They're the top of intellect, of scientific discovery and scientific, you know, they are what everybody should be and should try to emulate them. That's why. And so, you know, as they continue to espouse this, many other people are like, man, they ain't shit. You know, but yet, in reality, there are a lot of us who want to be them because they have projected themselves and give images of themselves as being such because we don't understand that they are liars. We don't understand that they're purveyors of evil. All we got to do is open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds. And realize this is who they are. And they haven't changed since they came out of those caves. This is who they are and how they infected humankind with the Urugu virus.
The Urugu virus.
Yep.
That is Baba Oshie, that is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. As some of us American Africans live with the blinders on, and the reason we have blinders is because there's a level of comfortability in having blinders on.
Yes, it is.
There's a level of mm-hmm. I'm all right, everything's good with the blinders on, until one day a white person flexes. It's like when this so-called black woman, and I said so-called black woman, you get mad at me if you want. Mm-hmm. I have, and it's not about women and men. I'm talking about this. The so-called black woman becomes the president, and she will be president. She's going to be coordinated. And when she becomes president, she will be the first so-called black woman president, and she will be sworn in by the first so-called black woman Supreme Court justice, mm-hmm. and she will be, and it will be on Martin Luther King's birthday.
Right on, Brother Irv. The symbolism behind all that shit is just deep, ain't it?
Come on, this is sucking you in. And first, let's break it down really quickly, and I'm gonna go. The black woman who's becoming president had to dedicate her life to a Jew. The woman who's swearing her in had to dedicate her life to a white man. And the birthday of the integrationist that you are celebrating. Mm. Has a picture of Mahatma Gandhi on the wall of his house. I saw the picture.
Yeah. Well,
so all this symbolism tells you that as long as we integrate with Urugu. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I went to the.
We're going
to
be all right. We're breaking the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Huh? We should be happy. That's what I'm saying, man. We continue to feel what's most important for us. Is to break down this Caucasian to the point where he becomes humane and allows us to be a part of his foolishness, a part of his craziness, a part of his society, a part of what the hell he does. And that's something that is really detrimental to us. But yet we don't understand it because we've been led to believe that their ice is colder. So we should try our best to be like them, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Baba Oshie, the slow walking of American Africans, we were slow walked into this. We were slow walked into thinking that what's the woman named supposed to be the first black millionaire? She makes a straightening comb.
Yeah,
makes a straight to make our hair straight.
Mm-hmm.
And now we speak their language. We slow walked into their language. We slow walked into their clothing.
Everything. We Europeanized
everything. Yeah, we get European, and then we walk around to each other, and now they're feminizing our men and emasculating our and making our women more masculine, and this is real now. This is real. The more people I look at that come out in these that say they're homosexuals, mm-hmm. Who I never would have thought. It just blows me away. It just takes me somewhere where I can see the end. I see that this is not going to end well for American Africans. But then you think about us. Why are we still here? All that we've gone through, the bellies of the ships, mm-hmm. we fought in all the wars, we ate in the back of the stores, we rode on the buses, we did all these things, and we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
So we have already won. And that's why Irugu's moving the way. Irugu would never put a woman as the president. Irugu would never give you any power. But he's got to move different now. Because I think Irugu's realizing, you're not going to get rid of these Africans. You can fit the United States inside of the continent of Africa. But in the map, it looks like it's smaller. And why is that? Because subliminally is where Irugu takes your mind. He has us thinking that he sets the bar. He yeah. tells you what the standard is. Yeah. Irugu tells you what looks good. Donald Trump got a beauty pageant. Miss America, he back there fondling the women. But the beauty pageant yeah. is more harmful than anything else because it tells you.
Right. It's their standard of beauty. It's their imagery. And everybody looks the way they want, that the European wants them to look, no matter what culture you're from. You know?
They did that for years. They subliminally planted these seeds in our brains so that we think long, straight hair is beautiful. So what do black women do? They go get long, straight hair. Black men looked at GQ magazine. Oh, if I put this suit on, I'm gonna look good. So we wear the suit. We wear the shoes. And we don't even question where it comes from. Mm-hmm. So, no, Baba. We are in a place not just by happenstance, but by design. This mm-hmm. is by design, Baba Oshie. We were slow walked into this. And now the motivation now is money. Everything is money. Money. Money makes me put a dress on and be in a movie. Money makes me tell a joke to make myself look stupid. Everything is money.
Mm-hmm.
Baba Oshie, I got to take this call. I'll give you a call.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much, sir. Brother yeah, Irv. Peace yes, to sir. You.
I got to see what's going on in the car.
Yeah. We're going to take a break in a minute. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about Stephen Biko. We're going to play some Hugh Masekela from South Africa. And I really want to thank Brother Irv always. But 61 years ago, yesterday, those lovely children and over about 20-something people hurt because of the bombing. And, of course, they finally found who did it, and it hung jury one time, and finally they found him guilty. But it was not just, it's not him. It's the society. It's the Europeans. It's who they are. It's not him. It's what they do. Tito Jackson family. Tito Jackson died. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. On timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to play, like I said, we're going to play some Hugh Masekela. And then we're going to turn it over to you and talk about Stephen Biko. And I don't know, family. I'm trying to get it together here. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You mess with Kayla. South Africa. Bantu, Stephen Biko. He's such a hero. I don't know if you've seen the movie Cry Freedom with Denzel's played some iconic people. And so when you understand Urugu, then you understand why they would give him an Academy Award for playing a dirty, dastardly, dogmatic police officer. Just like, what's the name, played some great roles too, you know, and iconic roles played. She played.
You mean like Halle Berry when she got for Monsters Ball?
Yeah.
Out of all the stuff she did, she got Monsters Ball. Really?
Yeah. You know, she played Dorothy Dandridge, man.
Come on.
She played
Dorothy.
And actually, I mean, she played some good roles. You know.
And she nailed it. She nailed it.
But yet. But, you know, she got an Academy Award, you know, for having sex with Billy Bob Thornton, you know.
A hillbilly.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know. And so not only did Denzel play Stephen Biko, he played so many other iconic roles, you know. But yet, that's what they give you an award for. And so, once again, family, we have to understand this is who they are. And yet we consistently, and they've trained us to expect more. And so therefore, they train us that way. And so therefore, if it doesn't happen, we'll make sure they do justice the next time, you know, or we'll make sure and we'll talk about it the next time. Listen. You're going to get what you always got. That's what you're going to get. What you always got. Because of how your thinking is and how you behave. So, but if you expect more, yeah. So, Stephen Biko. Bantu, Stephen Biko. Was born December 18th, and he passed September 12th, 77. He was beaten to death. I mean, look what the Belgians did to Patrice Lumumba. They after they beat him and cut him up and put his body in lie. These people are so damn barbaric. They're so barbaric. And yet, our thing is to continue to try to bring some humanity to their ass
and treat us humanely. That's the purpose, to treat us humanely. And they continue not to do so because it is not in them. And yet we have a leadership, especially the Christian leadership. That's why to me it's bull. Religious leadership is bull. We need cultural leadership. We need brothers and sisters who understand that for us to be a people again, we must raise our African consciousness. There is no other way. There is no other way. But yet we continue to fight and believe that through redemption, through our constant pleading and begging, that one day somehow they'll click in these crackers and they will begin to respect our humanity and treat us fairly in something that they created for themselves. They greedy and selfish. They don't want to share. It's not in them to do so, but yet we continue to believe so. He was a South African. Ideologically, he was an African nationalist, an African socialist. He was at the forefront of a grassroots anti-apartheid campaign known as Black Consciousness Movement during the 60s and 70s. His ideas were articulated in a series of articles published under the pseudonym Frank Talk. Frank Talk. Yeah. Raised in a poor Shantu family, Biko grew up in Ginsburg Township in Eastern Cape. And in 1966, he began studying medicine at the University of Natal, where he joined the National Union of South African Students, strongly opposed to apartheid system of racial segregation and white minority rule in South Africa. Caucasian minority. Yeah. See, they were minorities, they were ruling. But here in this country, we were minorities and we were begging. Minorities. Biko was frustrated that the National Union of South African Students and other anti-apartheid groups were dominated by white liberals rather than by Africans who were most affected by apartheid. He believed that the well-intended Caucasian liberals failed to comprehend the African experience and often acted in a paternalistic manner. And they did, because they always do. He developed the view that to avoid Caucasian domination, Africans had to organize independently. Yes! And to this end, he became a leading figure in the creation of the South African Students Organization in 1968. Membership was open only. Let me say it again. Membership was open only to Africans. A term that Biko used in reference not just to Bantu speaking Africans, but also to coloreds and Indians. So he said, he used the term black. Because, you know, Indians were. But, I mean, you know, let's be real. The Caucasian used Indians and others as a buffer. Those were the go-between. They allowed them. See, the Caucasian had set up a stratified social order in South Africa. A stratified social order. The movement campaign for an end to apartheid and the transition of South Africa to universal suffrage and a socialist economy. It organized African community programs and focused on the psychological empowerment of African people. Biko believed that African people needed to rid themselves of any sense of racial inferiority, an idea he expressed by popularizing the slogan, "Right on, black is beautiful." In 72, he was involved in founding the African People's Convention to promote African consciousness ideas among a wider population. The government came to see Biko as subversive and a subversive threat and placed him under a banning order in 73, severely restricting his activities. He remained politically active, helping organize organize a healthcare center in the Ginsburg area. During his ban, he received repeated anonymous threats and was detained by state security consistently. Following his arrest in August of 77, Biko was beaten to death by state security officers, and over 20,000 people attended his service. Biko's fame spread posthumously. He became the subject of numerous songs and works of art, while in 78, a biography by his friend Donald Woods formed the basis for the 1987 film with Denzel Washington, Cry Freedom. During Biko's life, the government alleged that he hated Caucasians. Various anti-apartheid activists accused him of sexism, and African racial nationalists criticized his unity front with coloreds and Indians. Nonetheless, Biko became one of the earliest icons of the movement against apartheid and is regarded as a political martyr and the father of African consciousness. His political legacy remains a matter of contention. I'm not going to read all of the bio, but what I do want to say is people must understand that the struggle for us as African people is a global struggle. The solution for African people is a global solution. It is not that American Africans retain or get some kind of freedom or some kind of liberation or some kind of whatever. No, it's Africans. Africans. As a member of the Pan-African Federalist Movement who wants to make sure that Africa, the continent, is accessible to Africans on the continent and throughout the diaspora. They want Africans to move back to Africa, to build Africa. We want Africans who have expertise, who have knowledge and abilities to come to Africa to work with brothers and sisters on the continent who have expertise. Not something that we're coming, particularly American Africans who could be very arrogant, coming to Africa and showing these, you know, no. We're coming with an open heart and open mind that we're building Africa for Africans. Because we understand that, you know, if you know that thing about, they talk about at one time, there was only one big landmass, Pangaea. And over millenniums, it began to break away. And there was tectonic shifts. And you can see how South America could fit in to where Ghana and Nigeria and so forth are. You can see where Europe, which is not a continent. I'm so adamant about saying, you know, even when somebody says it, to say, no, it's not a continent. It's not a continent by anybody's definition. It's shown in hell ain't a continent by their definition. By their definition. Europe is not a continent, but because of the arrogance of in the superior mindset of the European, the Caucasian, they wanted to make it a continent using a mountain range as opposed to saying what a continent is by their definition. to these Caucasians. These Urugu. Yeah, family. And to me, the only solution for African people, there is no other way, is to seek independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Sovereignty for African people. So that means that nobody tells us what to do, that nobody tells us how to govern, that nobody tells us a damn thing. Can I get back to this Pangea to help you understand? Africa was the heart of Pangea. Everything broke away. Africa was the core. You can look at the continent and how rooted it is. That's why all the mineral wealth is in Africa. That's why other places don't have anything in terms of mineral wealth that Africa has. Africa has been looted. Looted. Raped. Pillaged. For hundreds of years. And yet still has more resources than any other place on this planet. We need to stop. We need to come together, family, and stop it and reserve it for who it belongs. Us as African people. For us. You want something? You pay fair market price for it. You want something? We barter for it. If you got this and not feel Africa needs that, and yet we have this, then, and you want that, and we want that, what you have, then there's a trade. That's like when they talk about the slave trade. No damn slave trade. Family, I tell you. Tough day, family. And the subject is tough. Because when you think about Stephen Biko, how he was beaten to death, how the other Africans were killed, maimed, and murdered, how these folks stole. And to me, you know, I don't want to hear a damn thing they got to say. I keep going back to this saying that I believe Caucasians firmly believe, and that is the ends justify the means. Because to them, the ends of them being in the position that they're in justified them being as dogmatic and evil that they were. And then imposing their methods and their theology and all of those things on other people. That's why there ain't a damn thing that you can, if Caucasians are involved, if Caucasians say, I reject it. I reject everything that Urugu has presented. I reject it all. I give less than a rat's ass about anything that they bring. They are liars. They are thieves. They're some of the most despicable people on this planet. because of that situation, we are in the situation that we're in, which is a messed up situation. That's why I love Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the Yorugu, the oppressor, is the minds of the oppressed. And it has been very difficult, extremely difficult, to eradicate what the Yorugu has done to our minds, to put our thinking in the right perspective to liberation, to put our thinking in the right direction for us to be a free and proud and productive people. And so I look at it like this, family. Open up the phone lines and give us a call, please, at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We have a number of you already in the queue, and of course you know what to do. Hit star twice and get you in, and we'll have some conversation. But just want to leave you with this, because I firmly believe with all my heart, all my soul, that it is up to us to do this. It's Pan-Africanism or perish. It is unify or die. That is it. That is it, family. Every moment, everything that we do builds to that reality. If it doesn't, it ain't worth a damn. Everything builds towards the reality of sovereignty for African people. Everything. Mama Nabantu. Mama Nabantu, yes. How are you, dear?
I'm here. I had a lot of fires to put out, so I've been in and out of your calls.
Okay. I know you're a serious firefighter. I recognize that. I recognize that the moment I came to Atlanta and met you.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I'm here to echo. I don't know why, but I'll go forward here. And you, I guess you may or may not know. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Okay. The Causing Festival has moved to the city of Decatur, and the venue is at the First Baptist Church grounds.
Okay.
And it's free parking. It's free to come in, and it's also plenty of parking.
Okay.
I mean, we have all the parking that we need.
Okay.
The grounds are all, it has everything we need except for the lake that we're going to need this year.
Right. That was nice last year, and I apologize because I drove past it a couple of times and I was supposed to do the libation. So I owe you one.
You finally got there.
I did.
Right.
And it was really nice.
You again for libation. I don't think they secured anybody to do libation yet.
Well,
you know,
then put me down. And what is the date again, family?
The 28th.
The 28th of September.
Mm-hmm.
The 28th of September, family. And it's the annual Collard Green Festival, you know. And it's
a cook-off this year.
Off.
$500 first prize, $35 to enter, and
$500 first prize. Shoot,
it's always been $500.
Has it? Prize. Okay. Well, I just didn't know. Ooh, yeah. Shoot.
I mean,
so can you? First, how can you season the greens? Are there different seasoning? Is there a pork section and a turkey? No pork. Okay.
No pork.
So there's a smoked turkey section. Right.
Yeah, I think you can allow that. Mm-hmm.
And then there's regular spice section, you know, where people, whatever spices that they may use to make their collard greens taste as delicious mm-hmm. as they are and so forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So we have a lot more people that's going to be a part of the cook-off, and we already have our judges pretty much in place.
Good, good.
Our entertainment is going to be international singer Falami Akawanda Thompson, my daughter. She's coming.
Beautiful.
From Tulsa.
And, Tulsa, Oklahoma? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Rasta Funk. A lot of us know Rasta Funk. He's a reggae band.
Okay.
And somebody named Rauri, R-A-U-R-E. I don't know these. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess the young people know who they are. And Kitty Shamil is also going to be one of the key entertainers. But there'll be Quilombo School be there.
Good, Quilombo, yes.
Yeah, and I think Each One Teach One, I believe, is going to be there as well. So there's a lot going on. And we're looking forward to it, and
yes,
and we're grateful that we're able to find this venue at the last minute.
Right, right. I mean, last year's venue, it was nice, and of course, the parked over there in Lithonia, they held it mm-hmm. there for many years, and so. But mm-hmm. yeah, this is going to be great. I really look forward to the Collard Green Festival, brothers and sisters. That's going to be the 28th, not this Saturday, but the next Saturday. Saturday the 28th mm-hmm. of September, the annual.
It's 12 p.m. to 8 p.m.
12 p.m. to 8 p.m. A good amount of time for the families to get out there. And of course, you know, you got to get there early if you want to be in part of the tasting of the collard greens. And because I remember, did y'all run out last year? No, when y'all
went out of ice cream.
Okay, collard green ice cream? Family.
Yeah, we ran out.
They ran out of collard green ice cream, folks. You know what I'm telling you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Mama Nabantu. We'll have you on, of course, again. Also, too, to talk about the Pan-African Federalist Movement, you know, and talking about Stephen Biko. This is the time that he was assassinated, you know. But him and like so many other African freedom fighters, they understood Yorugu. It wasn't try to get along with these son of a bitches. It was saying, like, get your ass out and let us run our stuff. That's what the real mm-hmm. bottom line was. And so it's the same thing. We're saying, get your ass out of Africa and let us run our stuff. Let us eliminate all these boundaries that were created by the Berlin Conference that has divided us. Let us understand that it is not about you being Ghanaian or you being Cameroonian or Nigerian or any damn thing else. We are Africans. We are one. Yes, we respect those traditions that you have in those, but that's not the overriding deal. The overriding deal is that we are Africans and this belongs to us. This is ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to add to that, that there should be no more debts. Any debt that they have put on us to be dissolved.
Exactly. There ain't a damn penny considering what you have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I looked at the debt of African countries and where did I see that at? It's something I had. And that's in the newsletter, the African World Newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the African
mm-hmm.
World Newsletter,
mm-hmm.
the new one that was sent out online. That was sent online, mm-hmm. the African World Newsletter, and they're talking about the amount of debt of various countries around the world through the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, or World Bank. Bullshit. And you're talking about some of the debt into the hundreds of millions, if not $1 billion. No, we ain't paying you a damn penny, a damn dime, when you consider the rape of Africa and the enslavement of African people. No, no, it's over. You know, it's over. And see, I think that many Africans, and I know I would love to see it before we go, Mama Nabantu, but let's be real. as long as we're laying a solid foundation for that reality to take place, you know, we got to feel good about that. But it has to come into being. It has to. Because if Africa is to survive, and we as African people are to survive, it has to come into existence. Because the reality of it is, these folks would love to eliminate us.
Of course.
Yeah. These folks would love to get rid of us.
Yeah, they thought that COVID was going to do it, but it didn't.
No. Oh, no. Mm-mm. No. And ain't a damn thing else, with the exception of them dropping a bomb on us. And you know what, Mama Nabantu? I hate to say this. I really do. I wouldn't put it past them. Because they're that evil. They're that selfish and that greedy.
Yeah, they know what they, you know what they're up against, losing everything that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Their future will be doomed.
Yeah.
Because there will be no more money coming in to support their countries.
Yep.
So they'll be doomed. And they don't have the resources that Africa has.
That's right.
So they're doomed. They you know, the world is getting ready to change.
Well, my contention is you deal with us fairly. You have no right to exploit us to maintain what you have stolen. No, I'm sorry. That shit is over. It is over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, well, I tell you, I appreciate it, Mama Nabantu, and I'll continue to, you know, to spread the word about the Collard Green Festival next week, Friday, not this Friday, Friday the 28th. Indicator at the
Saturday
the 28th, well, family,
okay. 12 to 8. Mm-hmm. MARTA station is right around the corner.
Oh, is that right? MARTA station right around the corner, family. But then there's plenty of parking, so they don't have to worry about that. You know,
it's all free.
There is no admission.
Oh, yeah. And also bring your lungs and blankets, you know, get comfortable.
Okay. Bring your chairs. Bring your blankets.
Long chairs.
Yeah. Make yourself comfortable. Listen to the presentations. More importantly, listen to the music, the children. Yeah. I remember we had some pony rides last year.
We're gonna have horses there, too.
Okay.
We also are collaborating with a group that does services for pets. So people who have pets and they want to know all different kinds of products and services. And people who need service dogs and all that kind of stuff, they'll be there as well.
Right on. What year is the Collard Green Festival?
This is the 15th annual year.
15. The 15th annual.
Yeah, so we're working on a souvenir booklet. We want everybody to get a copy.
Right on. Okay. Look, I'm looking forward to it. I'll definitely be there. I'll be there on time.
No excuse.
No excuse, that's for sure. So.
All right.
I'll be talking to you again real soon. I'm going to bond to
you. All right, now.
As we formulate this. Day. All right, peace to you, my sister.
Peace.
The 15th annual Collard Green Festival in Decatur, Saturday, the 28th. So let's get ready for it. There's no excuse. It's free. Plenty of parking. Entertainment. Collard greens. Yeah, it's judging and so forth. Good afternoon, my brother. How are you doing?
Baba Ochi.
Yes, sir.
Baba Ochi.
Yes, sir.
I'm giving thanks for life and pleased to be alive. Thank you for the work you're doing. And good afternoon, good morning, good afternoon to Mom and Bantu and all the other contributors, Brother Irv, and all the contributors of this glorious platform.
I appreciate it, brother. Believe me.
Well, I appreciate you, Baba Ochi, for the work you do and the commitment you make. You talked to the beginning of at some stage in the show about someone who had transitioned.
Yes.
And you made a remark that you know, you're a bit all over the place. You know, Baba Ochi, is one thing we're guaranteed in this life, if nothing else, is to transition.
Yes.
And yes. if we don't do the work right now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, if we don't do the work right now, make our mark, then we truly know that we are dead if no one calls our name. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're actually participating in that great chapter. You're absolutely contributing to that, and everybody who contributes, you know, because today we do have the technology to record what we think and what we want to project to the world in this dimension. And I often think, if we were 100 years in the future, what message would you want to send to those who come after you? What would you want to say to them? What would you want them to hear from you? That always crosses my mind. And it also crosses my mind that we need to organize some sort of time capsule so that our adversaries can't deviate and rewrite the message, what they've been doing in the past. Although they've done that, our ancestors has left things in stone so that we could investigate and bring forth the truth, as it's the truth will set us free.
That's
so,
right.
You know, transitioning is only part of the process. It's just part of the process.
Yeah.
Part of the process of recycle life and transition. I don't want to say life and death, because death isn't really real. No one can convince me. The more I learn, the more I know, and the more I understand. And I understand that death isn't real, because everything which animates life, the energies which animate life, are infinite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was a time, Baba Ochi, we absolutely overslept it, you know. The practices we did, everything was geared to understanding. We knew that life was infinite. You know, we spoke to those with transitions on a regular basis. There was mm-hmm. no if, buts, or maybe. We did that. We did that without embarrassment. We did that without apology. Today, because we've been indoctrinated
heavily,
we want to apologize for it, or we want to do it in secret,
mm-hmm.
like we're embarrassed,
right?
To understand, and mm-hmm. that's because of our you call it programming. I like to refer to it as our schooling, fooling, indoctrination, which we
schooling
understand.
And fooling indoctrination.
So that's where we're at.
I like that, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Baba Ochi, you know, the reality, you know, you learn. Every day you must learn. You must try and learn. And you realize that the blueprint, how they're put together, they write it in their books. That's the craziest thing. They're not hiding. No. I'm telling you, man, they're not hiding a damn thing. It's all in their materials, in this book.
Yeah.
If you're bothered to look, you will find it. You will find the templates. You will find how these schooling, fooling systems have been put together. And I don't say that with apology. I mean what I say. They are some serious indoctrination centers. And sometimes, you know how the conclusion I come to? I've often thought that we're going backwards. And then I heard a professor on the Carl Nelson show. She's, I think she's from England originally, but she teaches in one of these historically black universities in America. And she was on there, and she said the same thing. She said, we're going backwards. And I said to myself, I've always said that. And here's this professor who actually studies us, who actually teaches it. She said the same thing. And I said to myself, you know what? Sometimes it's absolutely painful to be right. And I'm being honest with you. Sometimes you make observations and you see things, despite what you're being told, you're seeing things, and what you're seeing is opposite to what people are saying. People are saying we're making progress. They're saying we ain't making progress. We've gone back. We've gone back in our mentality. We're more dependent on the system,
mm-hmm.
less dependent on ourselves. You talk to somebody, go and farm or go and grow something. Would they know what to do? You understand?
Right.
You even go tell someone that they go and cook, would they know what to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, go and make yourself appear. And these things I'm saying, I'm not saying because I can do them. You go and tell someone to sew or mm-hmm. do anything like that, they look at you strangely. We don't do these things before. We were aware. Through the system, we've become so dependent. You know what I mean? It's quite scary.
Yeah.
Very scary.
Yeah.
And last thing I want to say, Baba Ochi, you said something about, you know, you talk about the Africa. You know, the big problem, on Sunday, I'm listening to our local station, and we got a brother who phones in from every week. He lives in, where is it? Not Zambia. Gosh, it slipped my mind now.
Okay.
Yeah, but well, African country he lives in, he phones in every week. And one of the things which most of the people who contributed to that platform, a few of them, Gambia, that particular country which slips my mind, and a few African countries, they phone in every week. And the consensus is that is the leadership. The leadership is absolutely, absolutely failing the people.
Sure, yes.
In a way which is almost worse than what we're going through with these people here. It's worse. You know, like a brother who phones in from Uganda, right? Mm-hmm. He was arrested for just phoning in to our program. He was arrested and spent 7 days being questioned. No freedom of speech there.
He was arrested and he spent seven days? Or 7 hours?
7 days. Right?
7 days.
No, 7 days. Seven mm-hmm. days.
Seven,
being questioned yeah. by police.
Yeah.
7 days. You know what I mean? And because he was missing, and the chief was trying to get in touch with him, and he eventually got back on the program, and he was saying what happened, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. You know, what I'm saying is, right, one of the things which I realized from that particular program is that giving those people on the ground in Africa an opportunity to speak mm-hmm. and hear their words.
Yes.
That's a powerful
yes.
thing.
Yes, it powerful. Is. I agree.
And it's powerful because they need it. They need to speak mm-hmm. out. They need to speak to the world. They are, you know, I listen very carefully and I hear these people on the Sunday. They're being contained, man, in a way this is just unreal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, sometimes I... Without the sake of offending anybody, I often feel as if I'm listening to tourists speak, like just looking at a tourist brochure. Okay, yeah, Africa this, Africa that. Mm. I'm beginning, what are you talking about? We're listening to these people every week. They're on the ground, and it's serious. So I suppose the solution... Yeah, we go to Africa, but really, we can from where we're at, we can do a lot of things.
Right.
A lot of things where we're at. One of the things I would suggest we do is make contact with Africans on the ground and hear what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hear what they're saying. Build a network of Africans on the ground in every African country we can. Give them the opportunity to just say their piece, you know, through the networks, the Pan-African type networks.
Yeah. Well, that's why the Pan-African Federalist Movement is so important, because it is developing this network of Africans literally on the ground that we can communicate with, because the whole bottom line is to create one Africa. One African, Pan-African, you know, reality for African people. Yes, we're going to be Ghanaian and Nigerian and Cameroonian and, you know, Zimbabwean. Yes, that's understandable. But what's more important, so we can maintain the minerals and the land and all the resources and so forth, is to say we are one Africa. That's what Kwame Nkrumah was talking about. That's what Patrice Lumumba was talking about. That's what Thomas Sankara and all the other ones who were assassinated and killed. That's what the brother in Burkina Faso was talking about. But listen, I got a bunch of other callers, Brother Paul. You want to hang on? You got something to say last?
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, brother. Good afternoon.
Hey, Oshie, what's happening, man? How was your weekend?
Oh, good, good, brother. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had tuned in late, man. I wanted to do a wellness check on Herb to see if the brother is all right.
Oh,
man.
Because of Baltimore.
I didn't have to do one on you today. But I know Irv, I have to do a little wellness check.
My Jets did come through for me at the end there. I was like getting mad, man. I was serious. I was like, you gotta beat these cats.
You know, I don't wanna change the subject, but I don't know what was going on. Like I said, I just tuned in because I wanted to do a quick wellness check on Irv.
Yeah, Irv is good.
As far as your Jets go, I have nothing to say other than thank you to, Aaron Rodgers, because the last 2 weeks he's made me a lot of money. So I appreciate.
Well, then there it
I
is.
Appreciate Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers, it seems to me, can't pass for over 200 yards. So I gotta ride this out. Okay. Until he have a big game, and Jets,
and that's going to happen.
Not going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It is what it is.
Okay.
You think he gonna have a game anytime soon, passing over 250 yards?
Sure.
Shoot, he ain't showed it yet. I just wanted to holler right quick. I apologize because I didn't tune in to the show, really. And listen, man, you have a good Tuesday, and you'll be back on the set on Wednesday.
For sure.
So I'll make sure Wednesday I tune in
earlier. All right,
be good, my good brother.
Peace. Go ahead, caller. Is this Ralph?
Hey, brother. How
man,
you doing?
I'm doing well, dear man, brother. How are you, Ralph?
Yes, I'm fine, my brother.
All right.
Hey, look, brother Oshie, I would like to say something, right? I would love for us, because, you know, like in the words, and I got to keep saying this until we get it, in the words of Teddy Pendergrass and the Blue Notes,
wake up, everybody.
If you don't know me by now,
you'll
never know me. We need to stop focusing on those and start focusing on ourselves. Paul was absolutely right when he says, because I saw it. I've been seeing this man since my 20s, and that's the benefit of me being raised by my grandparents.
Okay.
How far we have regressed as a people, and it hurts.
Yeah.
And I can't have this conversation with nobody. I can't have this conversation with nobody because, we're not the problem. That your Rogel's the problem. Yeah, we know that. But just blaming him and being a victim, we're never going to get better.
Right on, Ralph.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I just had to call in and say that I agree with Paul. Absolutely. We got to do something about this regression that we're going in.
Yeah.
And I know you're coming right up to the end of your program, so I'm just going to hang up. Well, no, I'm going to continue to listen, brothers.
I appreciate you, Ralph. You know I do, always,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate you too, brother.
All right, brother, peace. Oh, man, Ralph is on point. He is always on point. You know, all the other callers, I appreciate it. Let me just say this. You know, I know I'm kind of solemn because you know, that message, right before I was about to come on air, a few minutes, the sister called me and told me about the passing of my friend Van Jones, who really saved our festival and assisted me with helping to save our festival, you know, providing the entertainment that was necessary until the following year. Man, we had Frankie Beverly, and you know how what Frankie Beverly does, and God rest his soul, man. Frankie Beverly, who ain't made any new music in over 20-some years, but yet he's still the headliner in most presentations and venues. So, I tell you, such is life, dear family. But it's what you do with the time that you're here. Try your best to help somebody. Try your best to assist. Try your best to be positive. Try your best to speak truth. Try your best to be the best that you can be. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs. We put a spotlight on Stephen Biko because a couple of days ago was the year that he passed, that he was murdered, beaten to death by the South African, by the Afrikaners, who are still there, who are still there and still running it. Because of so many of us capitulate, so many of us acquiesce to the ass. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. That's a Dr. John Henry Clark quote. I give credit. I do. Because a lot of times, many things that I say and do and talk about, I give credit. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahadie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Wednesday, I hope. Peace, family.